everyone.
Bye.
And welcome to this week's episode of 1010 Would Recommend. I did a little pause there so you could say hi back, so I hope you all did.
That's really sweet.
It is me, it is I, Talani.
And it is me, it is I, Gina.
How are you, Gina?
I'm doing really well, really well. Been looking at some of the Met Gala pics from last night, because we're recording this just after the Met Gala.
Are you that annoying person who now thinks that you're a fashion expert? Because if I see, I'm not being funny or anything, but I'm just going to talk. It's doing my nothing.
Yeah, go for it.
It's pissing me off.
Tell us the truth.
On a normal day, you can't even put a t-shirt and jeans on correctly.
Scream.
Suddenly, you're a fashion critic.
Right.
Suddenly, every one of your Instagram stories is all of these outfits and breaking it down. You don't even know who Giorgio Armani is.
It's giving hypocrite.
You don't know anything about anything, and suddenly you're an expert. And what's annoying me is that a lot of them are using actual experts and just copying and pasting what the actual fashion girls are talking about.
Right.
I'm not saying you can't appreciate a look, but why are you giving expert opinions where you lack expertise?
You're not Gokwan.
Why are you? You are not Gokwan. Nor are you Trini or Susanna. How dare you? I'm just so bored of it.
If you got invited to the Met Gala tomorrow, would you go?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go, though.
Why?
Because
is there a political thing?
No. It's just because the way that everybody who is on it is so hyper-visible, and like, it's almost as if you go, you open yourself up to criticism about what you wear.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I'd be so stressed. I'd probably be throwing up the whole day before.
It would make me quite sick, but I think I'd go and try to avoid a red carpet picture.
Ow! Please.
I realise that I think I hate them.
Right.
It was the top boy premiere.
It was a top boy problem that really
made me realise, it's an awful moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like a training course to make you like more comfortable in it, because it is so awkward. And I had the misfortune of like having my photo taken at the red carpet and then having Rio Ferdinand right behind me. So I'm like awkwardly like in the camera, and everyone starts screaming for Rio Ferdinand. I'm like, oh, what's happening? And I just kind of like run away.
I'm very sorry you had that experience.
So, I think I would go. Yeah, I would go. It's sick. Met Gala, sick.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just because social media is just so horrible.
And also, I never understand what the themes mean every year. Yeah, I don't know what that's meant to mean.
This year's what? Gilded glamour or something?
What does that mean?
Just back in the day, I thought it was like,
What does gilded mean?
Goldie? Oh, God.
Sparkles?
I honestly think gilded, like something that's gilded, isn't it? Like gold.
Sure.
Oh, fuck. Anyway, sure. I saw this tweet and I wanted to read it to you and get your opinion.
Okay.
So this tweet is about Kim Kardashian and it says...
Actually, sorry, before we do that, I'm really, really sorry, but there's a really good documentary on Netflix about the Met. It's called The First of May.
Oh my God, you see
how I teed that up and then segued to make it make sense for Netflix. But yeah, it's a really, really good documentary and it's about the Met Gala and all of that. First of May.
Amazing. Anyway, First of May. Thank you so much. Okay, so the tweet is about Kim Kardashian and it says, this is by @LivsFoster. Women's unrealistic beauty standards can be neatly summed up by the fact that Kim Kardashian had to lose 16 pounds to fit into a dress previously owned by Marilyn Monroe, a woman long lauded as a curvy icon despite being a UK size 8.
Wait a damn minute. Marilyn was a size 8.
Yep. Yeah.
Why is she called curvy?
Because of the paint. No, but
seriously, why is she... You could have... I thought size 14 at the very least. Why is she curvy?
It's sad. It is sad. Also, the fact that Kim Kardashian, who is already incredibly tiny, had to lose six over a stone.
But also, I kind of wish Kim didn't tell us that.
Yeah.
I feel like we've like gone way past the stage, the place, the time to convince women that we have to lose weight to fit into a dress.
I feel like this links very closely to what we're going to speak about.
Yes.
Because today's topic is about a documentary that was recently released on Netflix.
Yep.
Called White Hot.
White Hot.
And this one is the story of Abercrombie and Fitch.
I like girls that way, Abercrombie and Fitch. I take it if I had one wish, because she's been gone since that summer.
Yeah.
I've got a personal disdain for them, because for years I was trying to work for them. I honestly wanted to work in that store so badly, right? And what I remember the most about that store is the scent of it.
Mm.
Before you even go into it, you can smell it as you walk past, right?
Yeah.
And I think it quickly told me that, you're not the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like before, without saying a word, right? And I really, really, I went to work there so badly and it just like, it never happened. And I had friends that got jobs there. And
really?
All of my friends that worked there were in the basement.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember they always worked in the stock room or in the basement and whatever. And the shop floor was always, always white, blonde people. And I think they got away with it for years because they said they were hiring models.
Mm. Yeah, they do mention that. All right, so let's go back and talk about the main premise within this documentary. So let me even get up the actual name of it before I start talking about what it is so I can actually say Abercrombie. Okay, so the documentary is called White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie and Fitch. Mm-hmm. So if you're around me and Talani's age or a bit younger, most people will know of when Abercrombie and Fitch was like the thing to wear.
It was that bitch.
It was that brand that all of the cool, relatively wealthy people wore when we were like in school, in secondary school. And this documentary talks about how the brand was made, how they like decided who was going to wear their stuff, and then like the quick descent into. But also, it talks about things like abuses of power and like there's accusations of like sexual abuse, harassment, and you know that of course there's always a racist element to all of these things.
Of course,
it's very unshocking. Yeah. I mean, my thing is this. I didn't even know that there was like a race thing at play. I was just like, I didn't like Abercrombie & Fitch because they clearly hate fat people.
Yeah.
So I was like, I ain't never going to wear these clothes.
Yeah.
But, and also I kept getting this Abercrombie & Fitch confused with Hollister.
I think it's the same company.
Isn't that the same?
It's the exact same company, just kind of reworked.
And also, why was Abercrombie & Fitch so dark?
And I think that was the thing. It gave this kind of like disco vibe, loud music, quite dark, topless white men.
Yeah.
And that was just their whole, that was just the whole vibe. Like, you came in here if that's what you aspired to, right? If you wanted to either look like these men, wanted to date these men, or went to look like these women, or date these women. And that was the whole premise of it. And like, they say it a lot in the documentary, where like, they kind of had to stop hiring people that weren't good looking enough. So they used to rank people from very cool to ugly, I guess. And the head office will get sent a picture of people that worked there. And if they didn't find this person attractive, you lost your shifts.
Yeah.
In what world?
It's mad. It is mad.
In actual what world? In a retail store that you need to be seen as physically attractive to work there. But I don't think that was far off what many people were doing. Maybe not as blatant, but I do think there was a time where who worked there, like, kind of gave room for who shopped there.
I think you're so right, yeah. I'm trying to think of who. You know what? The only other brand that I associate that kind of thing with, weirdly, is MAC Cosmetics.
Right, okay.
Because I feel like that, like, I don't know what they're hiring now. This is all alleged. Please, I'm not coming for anyone's brand. I don't want to get sued or anything like that. But every time I've got, and so many people have tweeted about it, has said it before, that MAC Cosmetics used to be, I don't know if it still is now because I don't shop there really anymore, it used to feel very hostile. Like, and I know in the Abercrombie & Fitch documentary, they spoke about basically, it's almost as if the staff were supposed to be annoyed that you were asking questions. And I feel the exact same way about MAC. And they hired beautiful people whose makeup was amazing. They all wore black, which is intimidating. And it's supposed to be like this cool, edgy, but like, you feel like kind of uncomfortable there. Very, very similar vibes. Very similar vibes. But it's fascinating to me how, like, I think it's on purpose, these things. Like, you assume that they're not, but it is on purpose.
The place I felt that vibe with growing up was that I didn't fit in. Not only could I not afford it, the sizes weren't really my size, and I wasn't white or blonde, was American Apparel.
Oh, American Apparel.
That used to give me that vibe of a bitch, get out.
Oh, my. Listen.
Like, it gave me the bitch, get out vibe, which I got the exact same thing with Abercrombie & Fitch.
Yeah, oh, my God, that's really, really thrown me back. I never owned anything from American Apparel. Never.
I had one pair of disco pants.
I really wanted
the disco pants. And it's really, really interesting how when you're younger, even though these brands were so blatant and being like, get out of there, but you wanted to fit in so much. It wasn't until I got older and I was just like, stop shopping in places that clearly don't want you or don't want your money, or want your money but don't want you, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And when you're younger, you don't think like that. You just think, I also want to shop in Abercrombie & Fitch so badly. And I guess it was bigger in America than it was here.
Yeah, it was. It was. But I was making some comparisons between, like, I was trying to think, what is the British version of that for, like, when we were teenagers?
Mm-mm.
And for me, weirdly, just because of the little bags that all my little classmates used to have, Jane Norman.
Oh my gosh, I was obsessed with Jane Norman.
And I never even bought anything from Jane Norman. I just wanted the little carrier bag.
I couldn't, so me and my friends used to go to Dagenham Market on a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And buy Jane Norman bags for 50p from Dagenham Dave.
Yeah.
like,
just so you could be like,
just so, and it was our PE bag. And I used to buy a PE bag and it had a purple one, I had Jane Norman in grey. And I couldn't afford a single fit from J. Norman, but I had that bag.
Started, and I bet had the clothes didn't bag. Even slap. J. Norman is giving like...
Yeah. If the name of it sounds so dated, I don't know why it was so cool.
It's giving Dorothy bag. Listen, whoever's idea, I don't know what branding or marketing expert managed to make those J. Norman bags so coveted to 12-year-old girls.
They were like Gucci bags.
It was like, honestly, so J. Norman for me, and then... the other one for me, I don't know if this is the same for you, it might have been because Essex, but Paul's Boutique.
Yes, of course.
Like, oh my God, I was dying to have Paul's Boutique. Like, I had Paul's Boutique bags. Yeah. Like, oh.
I had fakes.
Oh, I mean,
again, Dagenham
Market. Them from Deptford Market.
And also, French Connection. Do you remember the tops that looked like they said fuck on it? I was just like, oh my God, I need an FC UK. Wasn't it FC UK? Yeah, it was FC UK. Yeah. And I was obsessed with them. And do you know what? Slogan tops, which were probably the downfall of Abercrombie & Fitch.
Yes.
was the slogan t-shirt.
Yeah.
And so I have the really weird thing about wearing slogan t-shirts and wearing t-shirt with like old like rockers on it.
Oh.
The old rockers thing is because it's like, oh, like, what if they've done something? Mm. Do you know, like, so many old people now out there, they've assaulted this person, they've assaulted this person. So every time I see a t-shirt, I'm like, I hope this person hasn't done anything to anybody, sort of thing. There's that. And the slogan was like, because it was just stupid, right? Till today, I hate slogan t-shirts. I hate it. But like, be kind, shut the fuck up. Or like, oh...
Like, why did you use that particular slogan?
Because I literally saw someone wearing it this weekend. I was like, why have you got to just say be kind?
Yeah.
I hate it. And Abercrombie & Fitch got in massive trouble because of one of their slogan t-shirts, which was, it had, was it Chinese people on it?
Yeah, I think so. So
Asian people
It was Asian people, and the slogan was,
two wrongs will make it white.
Yeah.
Imagine a time when you thought you could put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
In a store that wasn't like a little niche store, in a massive store.
And you know what I found so interesting about that above anything else is that one of the guys, one of the talking heads, was talking about this scandal, and he said, you know, you would think that there would be somebody in the room that would have seen that and said, this is not a good idea. Like, there should have been one person of colour to said something. And then it was revealed that actually there were two Asian American people that were working
that
at the company
there
at that time, who were part of the design of that t-shirt. And then it went back to the talking head guy, and he was like, yeah, well, you know, if you're the only person of colour, like, how easy is it for you to say, like, this is a bad idea? Which, on one hand, I do understand. But on the other hand, it's interesting how you can be complicit in, like, people can be complicit. Like, people of colour can be complicit in the downfall of other people of colour.
Yep.
Just saying.
What's
like,
the saying?
It'd be your own people.
As the saying says, not all...
Not all skin folk are kinfolk.
Mm-hmm. So that's worth remembering.
Yeah.
So anyway, with that happening, right, I thought, actually, what other documentaries would you like to see get made? What other things in life? Because like, we knew that Abercrombie were dodgy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What other people or things or places that you're like, it's a story to be told there that you want discovered?
Topshop.
Oh.
Topshop. And you know what?
Who's the man that owns it again?
I can't remember his name.
Something Green.
Philip Green? Did I make that up?
Well, let's
sure,
call
fuck
that.
It. Yeah. We got nods. It's Philip Green. I feel very similar to the way that people are talking about their experience feeling othered by Abercrombie & Fitch to the way that I actually felt about Topshop, in terms of like size inclusivity.
Okay.
Because I really, really struggled. When I was younger, I think the biggest I ever got was a UK size 20. So I could not fit. Imagine, I just want you to imagine for 2 seconds being 15 years old.
In school. Yeah.
Buying a UK 20 in Dorothy Perkins, which I remember was the last pair of jeans that I bought before I lost some weight.
Same company, Topshop.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And I absolutely hated Topshop. And the reason I hated Topshop is because all of my friends would rave, this is also the reason why I've got a very complex relationship with Zara, would rave about it, would go in and buy all these little cute dresses. Mm-mm, not me. No. So when, unfortunately, everything happened with Topshop and they've had loads of different brand stuff that's happened and obviously they lost the stores and things like that, I had a really complex relationship about it because I felt like my inner child was like...
There's probably a story.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably
I would
a
love
story
to hear the story.
Yeah, I'd love
to hear the story. I'm sure they did a similar thing in terms of targeting like young teens like Abercrombie did.
Yeah, and people who worked there were quite cool as well.
That's so true. It was very cool to have a job at Abercrombie. No, sorry, at Topshop.
Very cool.
Yeah. What about you?
I have three things in particular that I want researched and investigated. One is the sweet shops on Oxford Street. How do you giving money laundering?
How do you afford that?
No one's ever in them.
Yeah.
How do you afford to sell sweets for this amount of money?
Yeah, yeah.
That's one. Two is Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon.
Why does he keep having so many kids? What's his story? Why does he keep doing that? I want more. I want a documentary. I want to find out. I want to speak to Maya Carey and ask if she invites the other kids to have other kids' birthday parties.
Right.
I need
How many
story.
Kids does he have now?
About nine.
Oh.
And I think all different women.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. And lastly, double glazing selling companies. Hear me out.
Mm.
When I was about 15, me and my friends went to Mumford. We're just walking around Mumford Market, whole tight Essex.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got scouted to be like, yo, do you guys want a job? We're like, yeah, sure, why not? It's really easy. You can earn up to this. You can get very, very rich. All you have to do is come to this office and call people and ask them if they want double glazing.
Mm-hmm.
No ID was checked. Nothing was checked. And we just turned up to work one day randomly. Mm-hmm. I don't even think they even added any... I don't think they planned to pay us because nothing. They didn't take anything off us.
Yeah.
So we went in. I think we had to work for free for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So we went in one day calling people like, oh, would you like some double glazing? And everyone said, fuck off. And that's all it was. Just people telling you to get lost. Why have you got my number? Calling random people. And I remember, like, I think my second or third shift going in and I was a bit late and I was like, oh, there's no seats for you. I was like, but I work here. But there wasn't enough seats. And that's how they never saw me again.
What?
I just didn't go back after that day.
How much were you getting paid?
I never got a single penny.
Oh my God.
And so many people that worked there, and I remember it so well, it was in Gants Hill on top of Sainsbury's. So many people that worked there never got paid. Mm. But we went like 2 weeks of calling people asking for double glazing.
Mm.
I want a story. I want an investigation. Because who hasn't got double glazing?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's a scam.
You know what? Related to that, and I'm going to do another great segue to something on Netflix. There is a show that is still showing on Netflix. I don't think it's a Netflix original, but you can watch it on Netflix, called White Gold. Have you ever watched it?
Oh, no. What's this about?
It's a British comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of the guy who stars in it, but it is about... like a guy who's like, I think he's like Cockney, or actually I think it's from Essex.
It's about
that time when everyone was selling double glazing. And the thing is, or was it conservatory? It was something like that. You know that arena. And basically he like was kind of high key scamming people. But I think you would really like it.
I bet you any money is about that company.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was such a anyone who's in my age group that grew up in that area, you worked there at some point.
Mm.
Because they just scouted all these young people and just with the promise of so much money. Mm. And nobody earned a penny. So I want that investigated as well.
I want something else investigated as well. But I don't think this is long enough to be into a documentary film.
It can be a short doc.
I want it to be a short doc because I want to talk about how I personally think it changed the course of the way that you eat at restaurants and the way that people serve you at restaurants. Do you remember the story about the person who went to a pret-a-manger, the child who went to a pret-a-manger, who...
Got an allergy,
didn't know that there was like traces of nuts in it and died.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I feel like from that point onwards, every single restaurant or otherwise I've been to that serves food, there's always been someone who's asked me if it's an allergy. Yeah. Every single person.
I think that's what changed it though.
I really think it was because of that. And
no,
I want to know.
What changed it.
I want to hear about it.
Yeah, that is definitely what changed it.
So can we get a doc on that?
Yeah.
A short.
Also, buffets, Chinese buffets. How'd you make your money? I want to know more of that as well.
Because I used to be in those buffets when I was younger, boy.
In a buffet.
I used to be in them.
That,
woo!
They used to be buffets. I haven't heard of seen a buffet
much,
in a while.
You know what? I remember the buffet that I used to go to, yeah? They had to make a policy that...
Gina can't come in here no more.
Do you know what? They had to make a policy, yeah, that people had to, like, before you were allowed to, like, eat, or whatever, and then you were allowed to, like, take things away and take away. They had to stop doing that because people would come from church.
Oh, yeah, that's what, yeah, Sundays, yeah.
People would come from church.
Yeah.
Right, truthfully, it was black people, right?
Yeah, I'm saying it there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They would come from church,
yeah.
They would eat, and then they would be getting bare takeaway boxes and taking all the for the same amount of money for one person to have. It was wrong.
Yeah.
They had to say no, stop.
But they say black people stop asking for takeaway boxes.
No, but they should have said that because that's what they were saying. Yeah.
I remember my Chinese buffet did children according to your height.
Ah.
So it was like if you're past a certain height, you were no longer a child.
So you
thankfully, I'm short.
Yeah. Been eating that 4.95.
Up until I was about 19, I was eating kids and I was banging out that meal up and down, up and down. What is your buffet etiquette? Because I do a starter first,
Oh, no.
Would you just go straight in with a big bowl of mains?
Are you joking? It's not even mains. I'm taking everything I can get my hands on.
Oh, no, no, no. I start small.
That is very, very,
yeah,
like,
just have, like, some seaweed to start with.
No,
we'll go to the mains, like the rices, the noodles, and the big boy meals, innit?
Wow.
And then get, like, 2-3 plates of that. Depends what day it is.
Not the two.
And then a dessert, like strawberry
ice
cream.
What's your...
I know. Do you know what? I've got a story I remember. Going to a buffet with my ex, yeah. And I think I generally probably was like my fourth round. And he went... He had this look of disgust in his face. He's like, you're bare hungry. I think I cried that. And I was just like, no, not anymore. I'm not.
No, you got to let people live at buffets, man.
Just like, let, you know, live. I eat like this in the normal day. It's just a buffet.
But anytime I see a buffet now, I actually get stressed because I go into like fight or flight. I'm like, if I don't eat everything, I'd feel like if... I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I've got money now. I'm not poor anymore.
I think there should be a thing about that. Just like how they make the money and what like the human psychology is when you enter a buffet.
Yeah.
Why is it like a, I must consume it all.
Yeah.
Mentality.
Yeah.
Even loads of things I'd like to see. Netflix, take these cues.
Yeah,
I would even host it.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Chinese Can You Eat It All? No, that's shit. Sorry, I'll start again. Hello, and welcome to All You Can Eat Buffet, the documentary. Can you eat it?
That
yes,
is the
you
worst
can.
Name ever. Can you eat it? Yes, you can.
I think that is sick. Can you eat it? Yes, you can.
Yeah, that's a better title.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be about. I can't
okay.
wait.
Love it.
Watch out for this space.
Yeah, commission tea to make that.
Thanks.
Oh, gosh. I will say one other thing, and that's about the diversity and inclusion piece of it all.
Yes.
There's numerous things that are interesting about the ending of this documentary. First, the fact that the start of the fall of Abercrombie Fitch came from an article that was posted 7 years before somebody ever even discovered this, mm-hmm. which was basically Mike Jeffries, the owner or whatever, saying, what was the phrase that he said that people kept saying? Basically, he was admitting to the fact that they only want one type of person to be wearing their clothes. Mm. They want to be exclusionary. They're doing it on purpose. And then someone 7 years later found it. And then it went, this was when social media was a thing, went viral
yes.
on Twitter. And then they got cancelled.
But
also that they had brought in a diversity and inclusion person
yeah.
to kind of fix the issue. And it was interesting that there was a comment on, when you do that, you know, you kind of set... the person up to fail. With a brand like Abercrombie Fitch,
oh, yeah,
especially,
you set them, to
set them up
yeah,
to fail.
Yeah.
Because what they ended up doing, as you said, going back to what you said at the beginning, is hiring more at the employee level,
mm-hmm.
hiding them
yep.
in order to still
like,
keep
no,
your...
Like physically hiding them. Do you know how mad that is?
And still being problematic and not having any diversity in your leadership
Like the one that this is Downton Abbey, the blacks and the Chinese go downstairs. That is insane.
It was a really interesting documentary. It was a throwback for me.
I always do find jobs about like diversity. I feel like it's a job that you do know that you're going to lose it. Because you do a good job, they're going to eventually don't need you anymore. You do a bad job, you're always going to fail at that role. It's a really interesting role for me, and it's always like on the heads of like someone who is an ethnic minority who now has to kind of like, we're going to fix it, and then carry all the shit that comes with it.
Yeah, it's
I think
a
it's
hard
a really
job.
Weird, interesting role.
It is.
Would
shout out
recommend.
People that do it. Because... Never mind. Guess we're not shouting about. All right.
Good for you lot. But yeah, no. Would you take that job on about Abercrombie and Fitch? Hey, Blackie, fix it.
Okay, so everyone please watch White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie and Fitch.
It's a really good documentary. Though.
It's really, really good.
Would
really,
recommend.
Really good. Would recommend.
Right, what else are you recommending this week?
Okay, so I am recommending... Let me get it.
Oh,
out.
You're very excited about your recommendation.
I
it
am, because
be good.
I think that you're going to like it because you love cute stuff like this. I'm recommending the Japanese series on Netflix called Old Enough.
Oh my God, I love that
Have
show.
You seen it?
Yes, it's adorable.
It's so cute. So the premise of this is that children, it's so cute in every episode. The first episode is like 7 minutes long.
It is so cute.
Children go on errands all by themselves for the very first time as a camera crew follows along in this beloved, long-running reality show from Japan. So this came out actually ages ago, but people are just starting to discover it, I feel like, in the UK.
Yeah.
It literally is what it says on the tin. It's just little, cute, tiny little babies. The first episode follows a 2.5-year-old just like going on their way to like do food shopping and do like the things that adults do.
It's
called
so adorable.
Old Enough. It's so sweet. It's
I would
so
love a
sweet.
UK version of it.
Well, I feel like we should. We really should.
right?
Yeah, why not? They should be old enough in every country.
Do you know who I want to see it? But he's too old now.
Who?
Because if you keep on saying that to me over and over...
Oh, my God.
I would love if to see him do old enough.
If we could have got him doing like a big boy job, like being a bus conductor or something.
Oh, he would have been
or
so
train conductor,
good.
Sorry, or a bus driver. You keep on saying that word.
If you keep on saying that to me over and over again, I'll uppercut him.
I'll uppercut him. No, Santa is coming. I love that little boy.
I love that video so much. It's only about 16 now. Yeah. It's been so long.
Yeah, well, he's probably gone to uni,
yeah,
graduated.
Yeah, I'm still so obsessed with that video. I'm going to recommend, it's so old school. It's just like, I watch it probably again once a month for some of my favourite films, also one of my favourite words, Serendipity.
Ooh.
Which is like, if you're into rom-coms, right? That's right. Probably like a staple rom-com that you've watched at one point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't watched it, please watch it. Like, the whole idea of serendipity is that, like, the right place, the right time.
Isn't this you said, oh yeah, you said your favourite word. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite words. Yeah, 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 yeah. I really love it. Such a nice word.
It is a nice word.
Do you think it sounds like what it means? Serendipity.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's so lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the film is just about a couple who meet and then, like, you know, keep missing each other and then plan to meet each other at one spot, and then it's just kind of like following that, and it's adorable. Mm-hmm. It's just a old school rom-com, Sunday night, glass of wine. Bob's your uncle. Billy's your nan.
Fanny's your aunt.
Fanny's your aunt. Where the fuck did I get Billy's your nan?
Billy
from?
Is your nan. Colin's your uncle. Right.
Solani's your cousin. And those are all the sayings.
And that is all. So I feel like we've mentioned a lot of shows.
We have. So we said White Hot.
White Hot.
Old enough.
White Gold, which is about the double glazing / conservatory era in Essex.
1st of May.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Met Gala.
Yeah.
And Serendipity. That is 5 shows to watch this week. You've got a good
we
number of shows.
We are giving you a bang for your buck, to be honest.
Yes, we sure are.
So we're going to leave it there for this week. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching, you know. Well,
I hate girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I'll leave it if I had one wish, because I want her gone all summer. And that's the remix.
Thank you so much, sir.
I've been Talani.
And I've been Gina. If you want to follow me on any other social media platforms, you can find me at SmileGina, that's G-E-N-A, on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. And where can we find you, T?
You can find me at Tolly_T on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know why I paused.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
That's fine. If you want to follow Netflix UK, which you should, we are on at Netflix UK on Twitter, Instagram, and at Netflix on TikTok. And if you would like to interact with us about any of the things we've spoken about today, about how much you love all of our recommendations, you can tweet us using the hashtag 1010 would recommend.
Bye.
Bye.